I'll now bring to you Sister Gwen.
Thank you so much, Sister Russell. God bless you, and God bless you, Church. I'm, you know, I always say to you that I don't plan on keeping you long, but we'll see how it goes. Let me first of all greet our host pastor, Reverend Jancy Johnson, officers of the church, and you saints in Christ from Wellington, Rochester, and further afield, wherever you're from. Then I just want to say greetings to you. For those that follow the Christian calendar, then you might well be aware that we are in the second week of Advent. And I'm Pentecostal, raised in the Pentecostal church. And maybe it's just my memory, but I really don't remember us as a church maybe doing things around Advent. Yes, as kids, we all loved the Advent calendar, opening it up because it was food, it was chocolates, it was nice and pleasant. But I don't really think I had a knowledge and understanding of what Advent really is or meant. And so this got me thinking. So tonight I want to talk to us, we're going to talk together in one sense, about Advent and why we should celebrate it, or if we should. So that's what my topic is. So Advent is the 4 week period before Christmas. So as you know, we're in the second week now. And the word Advent comes from the Latin word Adventus, which means coming. So it is observed as part of the Christian church calendar. And it's said to be a period of expectation and anticipation of the birth of Jesus. But as we know, Jesus has already come to the earth. Mm-hmm. So in one sense now, it's more about a time of preparation for the celebration of the birth of Jesus Christ. But it also goes on to talk about a preparation for the second coming of Christ. So the first prophecy, which probably is sometimes overlooked, about the first coming of Christ, can be found in Genesis 3, verse 15. And it reads thus, "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." And we know well the account of Adam and Eve that were in the Garden of Eden, where they were deceived by the devil, and through that sin entered the world. But we understand that life continued after that. And then came Isaiah, not immediately after, but you know, as we look through the times, then Isaiah the prophet came. And within the book of Isaiah itself, there are a number of prophecies relating to the Messiah, to his first coming, to his life, to his ministry, to his death, and also his resurrection. Isaiah 9, 6 to 7, it tells us about this prophetic voice for the birth of Christ. And it says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." So as we consider this prophetic voice of Isaiah, at least 700 years would pass between the prophecies that he spoke and the birth of Jesus. What a long wait for the promised Messiah, 700 years. But yet the world waited, anticipating that birth. So during Advent, we remember the promises that God has made to his people, that he would come and establish his kingdom. And so he did this by sending his son, born of a virgin, to this earth. No, I'm not going to say that scripture. John 3:16, it's a fulfillment of Isaiah 7, verse 14. And it says, therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. Oh, we know that Emmanuel translated means God with us. So Isaiah was very prophetic, but we can see that the things relating to the birth of Christ and even some of the things about his ministry, they have already been fulfilled. So we know then that the prophecies about his second coming will also be fulfilled. So we talked about preparing, that Advent's a time of preparing. So we are not preparing for that first coming, although there are some people that don't believe that Jesus Christ was the Messiah. So there are some that are still looking for the Messiah to come for the first time. But because scripture has already been fulfilled in a number of things, you know, even while Jesus was there, he opened the scroll and he read from Isaiah and saying, it's now fulfilled, this day it's fulfilled by him reading of the scripture, because the scripture was talking about him. And so Advent is here to remind us of the coming of Christ. By remembering the long years during which Israel waited for the coming of the Messiah, there seemed like there was a silence over the earth. God wasn't really saying anything to them, but they still waited for that promise. And in our preparation, we now were looking forward to the final coming of Christ at the end of time. So we're not awaiting the birth of Christ, because that's already come. It's been fulfilled, but we know that he is coming again, just like scripture tells us. So in the season of Advent, those that follow Advent closely, over the 4 weeks, they cover four different topics. And the first topic that they talk about is that of hope. And the nations, they looked in hope for someone to come and deliver them. We think back to the time of Moses, when the children of Israel were taken to Egypt. They were in bondage. They were made slaves. Life was hard. Life was miserable. And they longed for a Messiah. They longed for a savior. They longed for someone to deliver them. And sure enough, Moses came and he delivered them, but it was just for a short period of time. They were free for a short while. It didn't last. But since Jesus came into the earth, we now have a lively hope. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 13 to 18. This scripture is often used probably around funerals. But I want us to take hold of this scripture tonight. And verse 13 says, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. We're talking about hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the cloud to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. These are words of hope that we have in this time that the Bible tells us that he's coming back again. And even if we die before he comes back again, we will be caught up to be with him. And if we are alive and remain in him, when he comes that second time, we too will be caught up. What a glorious hope we have in the Word of God in this second coming, that He is coming back and He's coming to take us home to glory. The second week in which we're at, in whatever, looks at peace. And, we've been praying for peace between Ukraine and Russia, Israel and Palestine. We had the coup in Sierra Leone. We know that there's fractions and infighting. There are some issues in Libya. All over the place, there is turmoil. There's war. And we look back a couple of weeks where they had a few days ceasefire, Israel and Palestine, but it re-emerged, it's erupted again. There is no peace, there's no safety in these places. But the Bible tells us that Jesus is the Prince of Peace. When we allow Christ into our lives, he brings a deep peace in the midst of our storms. And it reminded me of the time where the disciples were caught in a storm. For them, it was a treacherous storm. The winds and the waves were tossing them like, I suppose, a leaf is tossed about. They weren't able to hold the ship, and they feared for their very lives. And while all of this drama, I call it, was happening, Jesus was sleeping. He was sleeping peacefully in the boat, in the ship, in the vessel. And this seemed to vex the disciples a little bit. And they thought, hold up, is he really sleeping while all of this turmoil is happening? And they rushed to him and they said, don't you care that we're perishing? Their voices probably wasn't as high as mine, but hey, they were thinking, come on. How can you be asleep at this time? We're at peril. It's a time of peril for us. And the Bible says that Jesus woke, not like some of us when we're trying to wake some of our people and they're sort of like, what? Or they're knocking our hands off saying, I'm trying to sleep, leave me alone. Jesus didn't do that. But he got up and he rebuked the winds. And sometimes as we read scripture, there are certain things that just come to us. And we're thinking, I've read that like lots of times before, but I didn't see this. I didn't recognize, I didn't understand this. But the Bible tells us that he spoke directly to the sea. So in one, he rebuked. And then the second, he spoke directly. And as he spoke directly to the sea, he spoke this word. And he said, peace. Peace. And then he instructed the sea to be still. And this was something that happened immediately. As Jesus spoke, immediately the sea was calm. The wind ceased to be roaring and tossing the disciples. What situation is in your life today? that you need to exercise your faith, that you need God to speak directly to the storms in your life. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3, this is something that we can hold on to as Christians. Verse 3 says, you will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you. Verse 4 encourages us to trust in the Lord forever. For the Lord himself is the rock eternal. And this just fits in with some of the songs that Leah sang this evening in part of praise and worship, that our God is our rock in times of trouble. We can be anchored in him. Though the storms of life may toss and the billows may roll, he said he will keep us in perfect peace. If our minds are going to be wishy-washy and we're thinking, oh, I don't know, I'm not sure, we won't have that perfect peace. But if we can stand steadfast in what God has spoken, what he has promised to us, then we can be assured that the peace of God, and another scripture says, which passeth all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds in Jesus. And so this is what this is about. This week of peace, there might be physical things that are happening, but he will keep us in perfect peace. He's promised us that there will be no situation that will overtake us. And we can trust in him because the peace of God is from everlasting to everlasting. It is eternal. Mm-hmm. It will not fade. There's no ceasefire for a moment and then it starts up again. It is mm-hmm. eternal. The third week talks about joy. And we have joy of a new life in Christ. When Christ came to earth as a babe, the angels, they declared tidings of great joy to the world. Romans 5 verse 13 says, May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. It is God that gives the joy. And as we've gone through the hope, we've gone through the peace, then we can have joy, continual joy in the Lord. And finally, the fourth week, it talks about love. Lester Lewis sings a song, Let's Talk About Love, Jah Love. And today I heard Sister Maria say, love came down. The love of God came down to this earth. Our well-known golden text, John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Free gift that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It was because of the love of God that Jesus took off his divinity and he was wrapped in human flesh. He felt like us. He ate like us. But yet he was without sin. And Christmas, we often tend to focus on, oh, that cute little babe in a manger. But we have to remember, he was born to die. Not just born to die, but born to be sacrificed, a living sacrifice for every human being on the earth. And the sacrifice was made to redeem us from a life of sin and to give us eternal life. So this season of Advent is really about us reflecting on how we can prepare our hearts and our homes for Christ's birth in the world as it is today. So like I said before, he's not coming as a babe anymore. He's already done that. But we have to remember then the real reason for Christmas. And the reason is that the birth of Christ gives us hope, gives us life. It has changed and transformed our lives if we have accepted Christ as our savior. So Advent preparation is about us celebrating that Jesus came to the earth. He came as a babe for you and for me. God gave his gift of love to us. And this is a season that we call Christmas or Christmas, whichever way you want to pronounce it. So the promise for Israel at the time and the promise for the church is Jesus Christ. For Israel at that time, it was the arrival, the coming of Christ to the earth. And for us, it's the second coming of Christ to the earth. This is the essence of Advent. And as I'm coming down, a couple more things I just want to share with you. Jesus himself told us that he would return. His first coming occurred when he was a human being. He lived the perfect life. He died on the cross for our sins. He rose and ascended to the heavens. And before he left, he said, I go to prepare a place. I'm coming back for you, and we will forever be together. He said he would be coming to judge the world. So Isaiah announced the coming birth of the Messiah, and he said that the Lord himself shall give you a sign. And the sign was about the virgin. And likewise, the Lord Jesus, he also gave us signs to let us know what his second coming, or when his second coming would be near. We talked about this, I think, the other day in discipleship, that no man knows the day nor the hour. God has not revealed it to man. But he said, when you see these things that are happening, look up. Don't be ignorant, like Paul told us in Thessalonians. We've got the word, we've got the scriptures. So let us read them, let us absorb them, let us know them so that we will not be found wanting, that we will not miss out when he comes back the second time, but that we will be ready. So in Matthew 24, 42 to 44, he cautioned, "Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come." And continues, "But ye all be, sorry, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh." So that's our encouragement to be ready. So as Christians, how should we prepare for the second coming? So if we read Mark 13, 24 to 21, because of time, I'm not going to read it, but read all of it if you when you get a chance. But there are some things that are essential for us to note from that scripture. The first is that we must live in the light of his first coming. The Bible tells us that we are the light, and we know that this world is in quite a state of darkness. Sin is so prevalent, but we must be the light to the world. The song talks about the star, and the Bible talks about the star that leads them. That's the light, and we must be the light for people to know that Christ has come and he's coming again. Secondly, we must be discerners of the times and the seasons. We cannot be oblivious, tunnel vision, living and thinking that everything is fine because it's not. So we must be discerners of the times and the seasons. Thirdly, we must keep the faith and not lose hope. There are many things that are happening that can want to knock us and sway us off track, but we have to keep the faith. Fourthly, we're to encourage one another in the Word of God, using the Psalms and using hymns to encourage one another when we see that one of our brothers or our sisters are low in spirit. We're there to encourage them, to lift them up, so that no man is left behind, or woman, you know, not that right. Yeah. And then we have to live today as if today is the day that Jesus is coming back. Sometimes we get caught up in all the things, and it's so easy to get caught up in this Christmas season, giving us our wish list. Oh, can I want this for Christmas. Get me this, get me that. Putting up all the decorations. We can so easily get caught up in life. But let us remember to live each day as if he is coming back. Let us not be caught out like the five foolish virgins that didn't have sufficient oil in their lamps. We've got enough knowledge. We've got enough scripture to help us to stay focused and live. And then finally, let us keep working. We don't know when Christ is coming back, but there are souls to be saved. We need to tell everyone we meet that God loves them. He sent his son to die for them, and he was resurrected, and he's at the right hand of God, making intercession for each and every single one of us. And he is coming back again. So let us remember that Jesus is the reason for the season that we are in. Be blessed.